From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
This is Longhorn Blitz with Horns247.com. Now, here is your host, Jeff Howe.
We are coming strong with a special edition of Longhorn Blitz with Horns247. I am Jeff Howe, and Matt Rod and I talk all the time about how this is our favorite week of the year. It's Texas OU week. Rod's played in this game. I've covered a number of them now. Matt's attended a number as a fan. And let me actually bring in the master of the soundboard, the drop machine extraordinaire, Matt Butler. Matt, I always say this anytime we get to this week, no matter what I do during the year, covering this game is the coolest thing I do all year. And that's in years where, you know, I've done a Sugar Bowl, College World Series, whatever. This is the coolest thing I do. What does this game mean to you? Why is this game so special to you?
I don't know. It always just brings back not only the football season, Texas football, how that's intertwined with family, Austin, everything like this, but this was the pinnacle of that. Yeah. So if you're looking for football season, you're so excited. But once football season gets there, you're sort of like, oh, well, I can't wait till OU. And then you know that OU's coming early in the season, and then you know that the whole season can be defined. I've had many falls where I remember leaving in a rage and going and sitting in a hallway by myself. Like, even Texas getting their butts kicked, it used to really affect you as a kid. So it's just one of those games that was different than any other, and then getting to be around it and hearing the stories from it, it's like when you play in it, it seems to brand into the minds of those players, and it forever ingrained basically Rod's professional life was what that 2000 game did to him.
Yeah, and it's interesting with this year's game in 2019, we hit some pretty interesting milestone anniversaries. 30 years since Johnny Walker's game-winning touchdown in the 89 game, Peter Gardere's first of four wins over Oklahoma. We're at 25 years since James Brown, as a freshman, beat Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl in place of Shea Morenz. We're at 10 years since that wild 99 game where Mike Leach left the dummy play call sheet in the tunnel that Oscar Giles and Tom Herman picked up and took to Carl Reese and said, look what we found, and it's exactly what Oklahoma wanted Texas to find.
Total leech.
10 years since Colt McCoy's last victory, so a lot of interesting milestones. So we wanted to do something special for you guys, those of you who are probably going to Dallas for the game right now, if you're en route or if you're hanging out wherever. This is just some classic interviews we've done over the year. And, Matt, we were talking about this before. A lot of this is kind of 2012, 2013-ish. But you'll hear from a lot of lifetime Longhorns,
randomly reference a 2013 game or something. So it's out of context for that, but the stories are great.
But a lot of lifetime Longhorns, a lot of really good stories, and I hope you guys enjoy. And I will let Matt introduce our lifetime Longhorns as they get cycled through here on this special show.
Lifetime Longhorn, BJ Johnson.
But speaking of Dallas, man, why we got you? And you might know more about this rivalry than others because now you grew up in Dallas. Obviously the Texas OU game played there in Dallas. I don't know if you've got a chance to watch the Longhorns the last 2 years down there. But you tell me, man, we had to go through it together. What does this team need to do to beat Oklahoma in your eyes?
Well, I'm gonna be honest, man. I've been going to the games the last couple of years because, you know, I found out that you can tailgate now, man, when you don't play football anymore.
Man, it's the best part of it.
And I love it. Yes. I love it. I didn't know anything about that when I was playing. So I love to go there to this big tailgate party they have. And this past year, I think me and my wife left about midway of the first quarter. It wasn't a good feeling. We went back to the tailgate and just kept drinking. So, I mean, what they need to do, man, is they really need to get some playmakers, and they need to get the playmakers the ball in space. I'm glad to see Major is calling those plays just because going back to playing with Major, he was always like a coach on the field, and he always knows where people are going to be in certain situations. You know, Major was kind of guy, Coach Coach Davis called something, and he'd be like, scratch that. We're not running that. We're going to run this because this is going to work at this particular moment. So being that they have that kind of mind upstairs looking down at the field and the defenses, I think he'll understand this year about getting the players the ball in space and, you know, not all the gimmicks that, you know, was being run the past couple of years. You just get the ball in the playmaker's hands quick and fast and try to get some yards. And I think that's what he'll be trying to do this year. That's what they need to do on offense.
Well, hey, BJ, Rod, he spoke at length over the last couple years about just the passion y'all guys played with, especially after the first blowout loss to OU in 2000 and how that really motivated the team there forward. But, you know, I sort of wanted to ask you, you know, if you had the opportunity to address the team before heading to Dallas, you know, after living that experience, what would you tell the team? Just what did you endure?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I did have a chance to address the team. I think it was, as a matter of fact, 2 years ago, the night before the game. Obviously, it didn't work, but I had to end up apologizing to the loss and the whole Wise staff because, you know, how I get, Rod B.
I know.
Cussing and yelling. But I got the guys fired up. They were fired up, ready to play, but it was Friday, unfortunately. You know. But my thing is just go out there and play with passion, leave it out there on the field. You know, even though we lost 4 years straight to OU, we never once went out there thinking that we were going to lose. You know, Rod, we used to get the chance to stay in Dallas for the weekend. So everybody packed their bags. They're like, yeah, I'm going to stay in town after the game. You know, so I'll pack my bag every year, even though I came back with a bag full of clothes mentality, because I knew I was going to go out there and ball. So, you know, that game is funny, man. Sometimes things happen and you just can't really explain it. It's really a game full of momentum and the atmosphere is crazy. And just to be a part of a rivalry like that, man, it's just awesome and it's really a blessing, man. But you just got to go out there and just fight, man. You know, college football is about passion and heart. You know, it's not about business and dollars when you get to the NFL like that. So you just got to go out there and leave it all out there, man, and play with your heart and your passion, man. And people will notice guys that play like that.
Yep.
Well, hey, BJ, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk a little bit about the Longhorns, and hopefully maybe we'll be able to catch up with you next season and see how things are going.
Definitely, man. There's tailgate, man. If you tailgate, you can find me.
Yeah.
Hey, you did the same for us. We got tailgates with the podcast. You come to Austin, get in touch with Rod B and myself, and we'll have a lot of fun.
I got you. Let's do it. I'll see you guys later, man.
All right. Thanks, BJ.
Later, BJ.
All right.
This is Lifetime Longhorn Sloan Thomas.
Well, to get back to that national championship level, Texas is going to have to play better against Oklahoma. We always talk to the former players just about that game, what it means to them specifically. And I wanted to ask you as well, you know, what have you seen from this team in the past and how could they change their fortune for the upcoming season, especially with what you went through taking on Oklahoma through your time at the 40 Acres?
You know, when it comes, I mean, you just got to play that game as it is. You know, go out there, go beat Oklahoma. It's a big game. It really is. It's, you know, the biggest game that you're going to play all year. But every game is the biggest year at Texas. I mean, the biggest game of the year with Texas. You know, Baylor's going to be, you know, Baylor's a lot better than they were when we played. But, you know, Iowa State, anybody we play, everybody's going at Texas. We are Texas, so everyone's jealous of Texas. You know, even when I was in the pros, I mean, you know, you hear University of Miami guys talk about, oh, we hate Texas. I'm like, we never played. You know, everybody just hates Texas. Coach Brown talked about it, and, you know, as a player, you're like, okay, he's just, you know, pumping our head up. But it was so true. Everybody hated Texas. You know, as a, you know, the OU game, you know, I lost all 4 years, and there's still not a, you know, a day or especially a week go by that I don't ever think about that game. And, you know, I remember, you know, my junior year, and, you know, Rod B taking a picture of the house before half, and it's like, oh, it's going to be our year, finally. You know, and it didn't happen. And, you know, it just, to play against those Oklahoma guys and talk to those Oklahoma guys, and the Oklahoma guys knowing that we were, you know, just as talented, if not more talented. Actually, they thought we were more talented than they were.
Yep.
To come out of that game with a loss, you know, L every year, still to this day bothers me. So, you know, I hope these guys can pull it off. I think that they do have the talent. You know, you had the, with the orange and, you know, the maroon that they do have, you know, separated, you know, at the 50-yard line. You know, and the adrenaline and the, you know, adversity and it going up and down, you know, just being really being able to manage the game and, you know, win the game. Going at Oklahoma is, if I don't care who you are, win that game. It's so important. You know, it's, I mean, as Texas, every game is important, but that Oklahoma game, it still stings to me to watch them. I can't stand, I mean, I don't hate a lot of things, but I hate their fans. I think they're terrible people. I think they're rude. I think they're ruthless. They live in Norman. So, I mean, if you live in Norman and you went to Oklahoma, you're supposed to go build refrigerators. That's what I think. I'll say it. I mean it. Nothing gets people that build refrigerators. But, I mean, I'm just not a fan of Oklahoma fans. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know, going off the you know, going to Texas OU and getting off the bus and the old lady with the breathing machine flicking me off. I'm just like, you know, really? You know, you this is what you, my grandmother wouldn't do this. She's not that passionate about it. So I'll be honest though. When I'm old, I talk trash. When I'm old, maybe I'll be flicking them off too.
There you go. That's pretty good. Your explanation right there was almost verbatim of one of Mac Brown's explanations from about the old lady flicking them off when they came off the bus.
Yeah, it's a different breed out there. You know, teach their own. But I have no love at all for the University of Oklahoma. You know, and I lost all 4 years. So I mean, they won when it comes up. But I'm a Texas guy, so in a way, I won too because I live in Texas. And I'm not from Oklahoma, and I got a degree from University of Texas, which is a lot better than a degree from University of Oklahoma. Sorry about that Oklahoma little.
Now, Sloan, you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to apologize at all, man. It's all good here. Sloan, I was going to say, I interviewed you probably 2009. Was doing some radio down in San Antonio, and we actually talked about Texas OU. And your answer when I asked you to describe that game, it's almost the same. You know, what is that, almost 4 years ago as it is now. Does that hatred, that burning desire about that game, does that ever go away?
It's more and more every year. I think it does. I do. I don't think it ever goes. Because, again, I lost four times to them. I let my family down. I let my fans down. I let my teammates down. You know, we let each other down when it came to that game. And, you know, the score, I have two of the worst losses in, you know, that game's history underneath my belt that I have to, you know, people don't know, but I know. I know that every day. So, you know, to go to Dallas, you know, and I still go to the game, you know, and I never forget the first time I actually went and we won. You know, and it was after I was done. You know, I was still playing, but it was after I left, you know, Texas. And, you know, just being so excited for those guys because I know what it means, you know, to be a letterman, or you know, to play in that game, and then also to be done, still have, you know, to be able to go to that game. So I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of my Longhorns, and I'm so important for them, and not just you know as a football player, but in life, you know, it still eats me up. But my passion for it is not going to change.
This is Lifetime Longhorn Roy Williams. This is Lifetime Longhorn Roy Williams.
Roy, let me sort of piggyback on that and just talking about the Texas OU game and what that game still means to you and what it meant for you back when you played at Texas.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only team I never beat in the Big 12. I believe we set a Cotton Bowl record my freshman year, 63-14, and I believe we broke that record my senior year, 65-13. So I really don't have any good things about that game other than, I mean, just played in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, but to see the other guys, you know, when Vincent's there, beat up on OU, I mean, to see Texas beat Oklahoma, that's, even though I didn't do it, I feel like I beat it when Texas beats Oklahoma. You know, I didn't get to experience it, but, I mean, that's a great game, great rivalry. And nothing against Oklahoma by no means. Everybody knows they're a good program too. But I mean, it's just, that's what you go to Texas for.
Hook'em! Lifetime Longhorn, Casey Studdard.
Casey, one of the things Coach Brown has talked about really over the last three off seasons is trying to get this offensive line at Texas back to where it was in 05 and 06. And he talks about you had frontline NFL guys, you had great depth. What was it about those groups you were a part of that made you guys so successful?
I think the biggest thing was just our we didn't like losing, our will to win, you know, and just the camaraderie we had together, like the whole offensive line, you know, Blaylock, Sinline, me, Jonathan Scott, the Tony Hills, Will Allen, all of us, you know, Valdez, all of us, we were always together, you know. You never not saw us together, you know. And it was just, we had such good camaraderie. We knew what each player was capable of doing each time. We played to our strengths, and you know, we helped each other out on our weaknesses, and that was like the biggest thing.
You know, Casey,
we were kind of, you know, a holes or whatever you want to say, but you know, we didn't take crap from nobody, and that's basically what we prided ourselves on. That, you know, because everyone always gives Texas that rap that we're soft, and we didn't like that. And we don't like that soft, people saying that we're soft. I can't stand that personally still today when people try to say that, because we changed it. You know, we changed their minds. And that's the biggest thing, is like we didn't want people to label us as soft or
oh, we're just Texas, and we got a lot of money out here. That's, you know, blah, blah, blah. We didn't want to be a part of that.
You know, Case, you know, I've argued that some of the lack of buzz around the program has been our inability to perform in that Texas OU game. We suffered the worst back-to-back losses in the rivalry's history the last couple of years. And I said it's because of our identity as a program and as a fandom is wrapped up in that game. You got to perform in that game. Talk about what you've seen from the Longhorns in that game and talk about your experience in that game. You know, in the Mac Brown era, whoever usually wins the rushing battle wins that game. It's kind of a line of scrimmage game. What do we have to do once again to gain our respect back in that rivalry?
Oh, we just got to go out there and let Oklahoma know that, like, we're going to whoop that ass. Sorry about the language, but I mean, that's just what it is. You know, you just got to go out there and you got to go out there and be tough. Texas tough. You know, coach preaches that, and you just got to, you can't take crap from nobody. You got to go out there and hit them in their mouth every play. And that's my biggest thing is you just got to go out there and tell them, all right, whatever, here we go. You know, like, regardless if you get down a couple touchdowns, you still got to go out there and, you still got to go out there and perform. It's, you know, that game's on national TV. That's one of the biggest games of the year. That's your rivalry. You know, you got to go out there and beat them. Like, regardless if they're number one and we're not even ranked, you still got to go out there and beat them. That's just what it is.
Well, Casey, you brought up talking about the 05 and 06 OU game where y'all were victorious, sort of snapping the streak that Texas had losing to Oklahoma. Could you maybe, since you're at the spring game, share what you think about this year's team? They're sort of going through the same type of situation coming off of back-to-back losses and what you expect to see from the Longhorns, not only in the season, but in a big game. Have they got to that next level to where you see that aggressiveness play in and play out at practice?
I think they're on the right road. I think Coach Stacy Sterles, I think he's doing an excellent job with the old line. I think he really has his, you know, he's. I really do think he's doing his thing with the old line and the way he's coaching them, the way he's getting them ready, and you know, trying to make them tough. And you know, you can really see it. You can really see it out there, and that's always a good thing when you can see a coach making a difference. You know, really making these kids want to go out there and compete. And that's the biggest thing is going out there and competing, like. Regardless of what's going on, you got to go out there and compete.
Hey, this is Lifetime Longhorn Kwame Cavill, UT great receiver.
Well, Kwame, you sort of led me into my next question. I was going to ask something totally different, but hearing you explain that and talking about motivational speaking, wanted to ask you about Texas and Oklahoma. And, you know, you just talked about sort of that competitive sickness needed to just have the desire to win. If you had a chance to talk to the team before going up to OU after the last few years, you know, what would be the main focal point of your speech to them, or what would you want to get across to them?
What I would want to get across to them is, are you going to get me hyped?
This is a normal reaction from all Longhorn players, too.
No, I'm just saying, first of all, the stuff that I saw last year was disgusting, you know. Yeah. And you have to understand that game means more than you think. Like, you don't, like, the freshman year, you go out there, you don't understand. You know, people are telling you, hey, man, hey, this is a fast game. You know, and things happen fast. And you go out there, and I'll give you a story. And I'll probably share this with them, too. My first Texas OU game, people have been clamoring, because I had a beef spring, and I wasn't getting no chicks in the early games. And people were clamoring. We were having receiver problems. People were clamoring, hey, get Cavill in the game, man, because, you know, he had a beef spring, and he's just athletic. We could use him. And McAvey came to me, like, well, this is McAvey at the time. And John was like, Coach McAvey, he said, we're going to get you in. We're going to play you a little bit. Just be ready. So, you know, the older veterans were like, hey, man, be ready because this game is fast. You ain't never played in a fast game like this. Be ready. You know, and Rod tell you, the competitive, you're like, man, whatever, man. I ain't played in every type of game you want to play in. This ain't no different. And the first play was a run play. The second play, of course, McAvick being the offensive guy he is, he's seen a weapon. He's like, okay, we're going to see what you want to do. And they called 93 lock. I remember playing everything. JB called in the game and looked at me when he said it. Hey, 93 lock. Like, hey, I'm coming to you. Okay? So I was like, all right, good. And I ran the route. I shook the dude off the line, ran the route, turned my head. The ball was on my face mask so fast. because, you know, the tempo was so fast. The ball went right through my hands. So I'm looking at my hands like, golly. And you're talking to a guy that caught 100 balls. So I'm looking at a guy, I'm looking at my hands like, are you kidding me? The old receiver looking at the hands trick, like, it's got to be the hands, right?
Yeah, so, that's what we were doing in the studio.
Right. So I get back in the huddle, and JB just lit into me. And you got to get the damn head in the game, man. So I'm like, all right. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to come back. So the next – Now we saw another run to Ricky. Ricky busted for about 10. So back of it, being the genius he is, hey, he came back. Hey, we called a slant to him. Shipped the guy off the line again. JB throws it right through my hand. I told myself that day forward, I will never drop another ball ever again, and I will never look this bad in this game ever again. Because I knew that was the lowest of the low. I'm never going to get that low. Dropping two balls back-to-back in the game, I'm never going to get that low again. So there's no way but up. But the guys have been telling me how fast this game is and how much emotion it is, but I couldn't feel it until I got in it. So what I tell guys is, you take that butt-whooping and you let it fester.
Yep.
All season until when you come back. The reason why we came when Mac Brown came in, he brought that culture of attitude. I was already on that attitude. Like, y'all got me messed up, because I remember what happened last year, and I need to make sure that I establish something out here the next time we play. So guys need to understand the deal, man, and that's one of Mac Brown's favorite lines. You just got to understand the deal. When you go out there in that game, you got to leave it out there on the field, because there is no turning back. That game usually, whether you win or lose, usually carries for the rest of the season.
Yep.
And guys need to understand how important that is. When you put that horn on the side of your helmet, we ain't just putting the horn on the side of the helmet just because, man. There's people that didn't blood, some great people that put that helmet on. You got to understand that. And if you don't understand that, you don't need to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the bottom line. And some people just until you get into that game and either get choked on the line or get ran over or drop a ball or get your butt whooped and understand what's going on, you have no clue really what that game is about. And I mean, I'll leave you with this. I'll tell you another story. Before that game, my freshman year, okay. I still didn't know how serious it was. This is before I dropped the two balls, whatever. And maybe this is why I dropped the two balls. I came outside the locker room, and as soon as I came out, because, you know, the locker rooms face each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as soon as I came outside the locker room, just to get a sense of that, you know, most football players want to get out there, get a sense and smell it,
yep.
And just get their blood flowing. I used to say, hey, I got to get my blood warm. Let me go out here and get my blood warm first. As soon as I came out the locker room, I saw the biggest, blackest, D-lineman, scariest. And I think his name was Sum Chase, number 93. He didn't even have his jersey on, but I know who he was. But his nickname was Shaq Fu. And I promise you, Shaq Fu, right, as soon as I came out the locker room, he was beating his chest saying, who wants some of Shaq Fu? Rod, I turned right around and went back in the locker room. My blood wasn't just warm. It wasn't that warm enough. You know what I'm saying? But that's the type of game it is.
That's real.
It's real like that. Like, it's you're going to get punked or you're going to do the punking. So it's like, either or. So that's what I would tell the guys. Like, they just got to understand that either you're going to show up or like me and Ron will tell you, and you can censor this if you want to, either you're going to show up or pull up or hoe up.
Yep. That's real.
And football is that type of game. Either you got nuts or you don't have nuts. And it will be, it's funny how this game will expose you in a heartbeat. And we just got exposed last year. Now, it's up to the captains and the seniors to understand they got to set the tempo. And it's funny how you see how people grow and mature. I talked to Coach Brown, and he was like, hey, we're not too far from
what we want to be. You know, that mentality, attitude where we are Texas again, you know. And it just takes a group of leaders to galvanize this group and take guys by the hand and say, hey, this is what we're about, winning. That's it. Ain't no other. We're about winning. We win championships here. We got a standard of excellence, and that's what it is. And either you touch the horns before you go out the field or don't touch them.
Kwame, before you go, man, wanted to let you know also about, I guess it was 3 years ago, I was calling a game out of Lake Travis, and I saw a kid, Danny Cavill, his first two touches on varsity, skating through the middle of the secondary for touchdowns, and then somebody said that was Kwame Cavill's cousin, and I was like, oh, wow, that kid, he has some speed.
The funny thing about that, before we go, is I told him the same thing I told y'all. I said, hey, man, first of all, you got a last name on your shirt that's recognized. And you need to understand what the legacy is on that shirt.
That's
what your name is all about. And he understood that. The only thing he pissed me off is he's a damn Sooner right now. So,
oh.
Yeah, he's a damn Sooner. And we lost that battle. But, we lost that battle, but we'll win the war, so to speak. But that hurt. But at the same time, I love him to death, and he's going to be a player. And I told him, I say, let me tell you now, because you went to OU, and because you got that last name, you have to do something. I mean, ain't no, the expectations are high. Because you know how many times I demoralized the Sooners? They couldn't wait to get a career on their side. That's why they probably, ain't no telling what they offered that kid to get there, man. They got sick and tired of me running screens up their ass the whole damn time. So.
Lifetime Longhorn, Sergio Kendall.
Hey, Sergio, the defense this past year, obviously, to say they were lackluster is a bit of an understatement. Statistically, the worst defense that Texas has ever had in its history. If you get a chance to watch them, and if so, what do you think that the defense can do to help them improve this year?
Okay, in Maryland, they never really showed any of the UT game. The only game I saw was when they played Oklahoma. And yeah, man, it was one of those, man. And first thing, man, you got to have that mentality going on. I felt like when certain things didn't go their way, the first thing that didn't go their way, I felt like it was downhill for the rest of the game, you know. And when certain teams, you know, the teams I was on, teams that Vince and all those guys was on, when they came out knowing they was going to win, regardless of who it is and regardless of what happened. That's what you practice for. You, nothing is perfect in life, so you got to be able to overcome adversity. And I just feel like the guys, they kind of just crumbled under pressure, man. But and the thing that we have is that we went out there with the mentality that we didn't need the coaches to coach. Just call the play and we were running from there. That's all we needed. I mean, the coaches, they can sit back and sip Gatorade if they want. So, I mean, and that was our whole mentality. And at the same time, the type of coach Muschamp was, if he was doing any coaching, most of the time it was yelling. So, yeah, he can chill, just relax.
Well, let me piggyback on the Texas OU discussion. You grew up in the Dallas area, I believe, almost your entire life, lived around there. So you're really local. You saw that since you were a young kid. Could you talk about what that game meant to you growing up, and then as it transformed into you being a part of it, and then now just what you recollect and remember from playing in Texas OU games?
Right. I remember coming out of getting recruited out of high school and getting an offer from OU, and my first thing was like PG-13 version of what I said was heck no. Because at the same time, you know, I can hear all that boomer sooner from my house. And you know, you get sick of that. And at the same time, you think about how, oh, you have to come to Texas to get some of the players that we have here. You know what I mean, to make their team better. So I wasn't gonna fit that mode. I was gonna stay in the state. That way we can turn the tide back to where it needs to be. And being able to play in it was amazing, man. Because as you know, they've had talks about trying to move that game to like home and away games or however they go. But that'll take away from the mystique. It's been there for as long as I've been alive, and I feel like there's no better place for that game to be played. So it has to stay there. And just being a part of that atmosphere, it's similar to a national championship in the middle of the season because obviously both teams are usually premier, you know, top 10 ranked most of the time.
Sergio, let me ask you this in regards to the OU game. You're a part of the last Texas team that beat OU in 2009, also won that great, phenomenal game in 2008. What goes into winning that game? In other words, whoever wins that game, and I'm not just talking about physically in terms of game plan, but the mental edge. What kind of a mental edge do you have to have within yourself to win that football game?
You have to know that you can't make any mistakes because they usually are just as good as you mentally and physically in all aspects of the game. So it's really your will against theirs, man. And if you cut down on the mistakes, then you'll win because obviously when we played in 08 and 09, offense really wasn't the determining factor because both defenses played well. It's just that we played a little bit better than they did, and we pulled it out.
Hey, Sergio, can you tell me the difference between the teams that you played on that reached a national championship contention in BCS games and just the teams that had moderate success, those 06, 07 teams, as compared to those 08, 09 teams? What's the difference?
I just think that eventually we all grew into our own as players, and then everybody's piece finally started to fit into the puzzle that the jigsaw puzzle that we was putting together. And once that happened, it was all she wrote, you know, because obviously our offense put up tons of points even when we weren't just national championship contenders, but we had to get our defense, which wasn't bad, but we had to make it great. And when Muschamp came in and got together with Coach Akita, which is a great coach, and putting in first rounders and thought winners year round or yearly, and Coach Giles putting in first round ends and things like that, when Muschamp got here and put his spin on it, you know, the sky was the limit from there.
Welcome. This is Earl Thomas.
Earl, can you describe in words the joy of winning that game? I mean, it's a unique environment. It's split 50-50. And the joy that was on the Texas side when you played and the agony that was on the Oklahoma side, can you even put into words what it means as a player to win that game?
You know, the crazy thing about it, my mindset was so different, you know, back in college. You know, I really didn't know anything coming into Texas about the tradition at Texas or OU. I was just happy to be in college. You know, I wasn't even thinking about college. It just sort of happened for me. So I really didn't realize the magnitude how big that game was after I left. So when I went to OU game, I was just like, man, I got to be on my stuff just like any other game. But, you know, it was just a neutral site, you know, it was a fairground. I think it was just a lot of distractions, you know, that you get caught up in. But I definitely took it as a championship opportunity, and I was always thinking about, you know, just the next level. And any time I step on the field, I don't want to put out bad tape. So I definitely just try to be the best communicator and, you know, the best playmaker I can be.
Lifetime Longhorn, Rod McElroy.
Hey, Roger, what I admire a lot about that class, man, is you guys had a lot of success against Oklahoma, against our biggest rival. And we've had a lot of guys on the show, and we always ask them, you know, what does it take? Because we've struggled lately in that game. What made you guys so successful in such an intense rivalry? What set you guys apart and gave you so much success in that rivalry?
You know, the OU game is just something different. You know, you get pumped up, and you know it's gonna be a crazy weekend. So, you know, I don't really know what sets apart. I don't know. We were just all on one page. I don't know if you want to say the coaching, but we just going to that game. Really, you know, we weren't worried about losing. You know, we was going in like we was gonna win. Our mentality, like we was gonna win. We was gonna get this gold hat. We was gonna take it back to Austin. And like I said, a lot of guys felt the same way, and we went out there and. It's just one of those games where, you know, it's one game where you can literally say you left it all on the field. And we had a successful run against OU, and that's what we did pretty much. Just left it all on the field at the end of the day.
Lifetime Longhorn, Mike Adams. Well, Mike, we also always ask everybody, you know, about the Texas OU rivalry, such a big one for the players that played in it, but everybody has different stories, different emotions that they went through. Would you be willing just to share, you know, what that game meant to you and what it still means to you now?
Man, it meant a lot. I mean, I grew up right in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it's funny because I think it's more Sooner fans up there than Longhorn fans. I mean, you know, growing up in my house, you know, all I heard was Boomer Sooner, and he even took a visit on the campus. But I just knew that wasn't where I was supposed to be. when I got out there, man, that first game, and, you know, Coach McAvey said, man, this game, you know, him not even being, you know, a Texan, and, you know, not really ever played in that game, but, you know, has been around football long enough to know what that game means. You know, this game is going to be a lot different than any game you play. You know, guys are going to fly around, you know, keep your head on the swivel. And, man, that game moves so fast. I mean, it goes, dude. You cannot stand around the pile. Guys are competing. I mean, guys don't like each other. You're in the locker room about 12 feet apart. Guys looking at you, spitting on you in the tunnel. I mean, probably no other scene like it in college football. I mean, just a great, great atmosphere, man. And I actually broke even in that series. I think I was 2-2-1. You know, the tie coming in 95 when we had those guys beat 24-0 and somehow let them back in the game. But, you know, just a big time robbery. And the records don't matter. You know, like I said, I think they were, you know, in 96, they didn't have one win and they beat us and got their first win in overtime. So, you know, take all the records out, man. Those guys are going to play hard. I mean, you're talking about a lot of those guys coming from the state of Texas. So you know they want to be guys that are playing for Texas. So just an amazing football game, man. And I do have some stitches to show for it, I think, from the 93 game.
Yep.
Somebody got under my chest strap. I don't know who, but gave me a pretty good one.
And a reminder that all guests on the VIP hotline are brought to you by Stephen Van Wicklin Dental. Next up, Lifetime Longhorn Dede Lewis.
Hey, Dede, let's piggyback on that. And I remember playing with you, and we had great leaders like yourself and Corey Redd and even Quentin Jamrow throw out there. But that I believe the fandom right now is going through an identity crisis, mainly because we've gone through the two worst losses in the history of the Red River rivalry, two worst back-to-back losses on either side. And I think we're kind of got an identity crisis as a result of that. I remember when we got shellacked, all right, and, yes, and just bombarded. I remember. See, you remember it too. Obviously, we try to put it in the back of our minds, but we can't. That 2000 OU game, and I remember how obsessed we were as a unit for an entire year until we got a chance to play in that game again and prove ourselves. I mean, it really was. I remember that. Yeah,
I totally agree with you.
You know what I mean? It was talk about that. Talk about that year after that blowout loss in 2000 to the 2001 year where it was the same guys on that defense, but it wasn't the same mentality on that defense.
You know what? You go back and look at the tape, man, and it really was just, we got outplayed, man. And we didn't make any plays. Everything was falling in line for them. And you look at that, we didn't do anything to change the momentum. You know, we didn't get the ball back for our offense. We didn't help our coaches out. It just, the defense was out there too long, you know. So, of course, that I remember the offseason, our focus was trying to get back to that game.
Yep.
You know, to prove ourselves, to make sure that the world knew that we come to play. And, yep. I mean, it was a real close game. I really, you know, hate that we didn't pull it out, but I mean, they knew that we can't play that game.
Yep.
You know, and so, but that's the thing about, you know, life and football and stuff like that. You want to make sure that you're prepared, you know, to the best of your ability that way. Look back at life, you know that those games, you won't have situations or those games, because, like, I know Casey Hampton in that game that we got blew out.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he played one of the best games.
Yes, he did.
That he played. You know, and so when you look back, you know, I know it's not in the individual game, but he can say, you know, I gave everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of my regrets. That I look back, you know, I had a baby that week, my first son, I had the flu, but those are excuses, and, you know,
that don't fly once you step on the field.
Yep.
It's either you, if you're prepared or you're not. You know, so that's, I think after that game, you learn about preparation and making sure that you step on the field with bad intentions every time. Because everybody's gunning for that Texas Longhorn.
Man.
Yep. You know, everybody's coming for you, no matter you know who it is. They want to play the Texas Longhorns, and they want to embarrass you. So you want to make sure that don't happen. So,
Didi, I want to take you back through your career. You came to Texas as a running back out of Aldean, made the transition to linebacker. Talk about the challenges you faced, not only making the position change, but then you see guys like Tyrone Jones, Everick Rawls, really talented, highly recruited guys coming in, gunning for your job. Just talk about the mentality to stay hungry every day, you know, making the position change and then ending up where you did really as one of the top linebackers in the Mack Brown era.
It was just knowing the type of athlete that you are and playing angry. That's one of the things that I always try to take pride in, just trying to hurt somebody. I mean, I had bad intentions, and you know, when I stepped on the field, and I think, you know, if anything, if I could share anything with the guys, if they're listening, it's preparation. If you can prepare yourself, that's the one thing I learned from the NFL. Man, everybody has about the same skill level. Mm-hmm. It's just the guys that are prepared and the guys that can keep from getting hurt. You know, and so with that, man, preparation as a linebacker, knowing everybody's assignment, knowing the ins and outs of the defense, man, that makes a big deal when it's game day. You know, so me learning that and knowing that, you know, if I had that wisdom at a young age, you know, instead of just playing with bad intentions, you know, I think I would have been able to our defense out more and have even a better defense than we did have, you know. So that's one of the things I learned from, you know, coming from running back to linebacker, not ever playing linebacker before. It's just, I hate that I didn't get that learn to prepare, you know. I just really went out there and played off of athletic ability and, you know, guys around me and stepping up as a leader. So that's one of my regrets. So,
well, Didi certainly had a fantastic career. Last question we want to ask you before you get out of here. You've been a part of a team that went to a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. You've been a part of Texas OU. Compare the two, because you're one of the few guys that can. I've had guys that have played in the Super Bowl say even a Super Bowl doesn't compare to Texas OU. In your opinion, how does it compare?
Man, I don't know. The game that we played, I know Casey Hampton was on the other side.
Yeah.
I say we got robbed. So.
Hey, the refs might agree with you.
I mean, it was just a bizarre game. But it's nothing that compares to the, you know, Texas and OU game. I mean, when you go out there, the atmosphere, you know, like I said earlier, you got to come to play with some bad intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that, I'm getting kind of steamed up right now. I'm just one of those guys that have a passion for my Longhorns. I bleed orange, burn orange, and, you know, that's, it's an extreme hatred for me, you know, with the OU game. So, I know I hate to use that word, but it just, I mean, that's how it was. That was the atmosphere. You know, when you're on that red side, you know that they're going for their team. When we're on our side, they're going for us. You know, so, it just, oh, man.
Hey, Didi, you can use hate. Rod used plenty of words worse than that to describe that.
All the time, brother. All the time.
But you know, I really, if I was to
would have won the Super Bowl, I mean, maybe I would have felt different, but just it, I mean, that game was so bizarre. It just felt like, it just felt unreal. So, I definitely say that Texas and OU game, that's something to experience. I mean, even, I know we don't play them anymore, playing A&M at A&M, that's one of the best experiences. You know that you're surrounded by hate, and you got to lean on your teammates, your coaches, and you know y'all come in together knowing that y'all got to lead together. But that game, knowing by how much hatred that they are, dislike that they have for, you know, the Texas Longhorns, and you go out there, you know, basically kick their butts. I mean, that's a great feeling, man. You know, so.
Hook 'em! Lifetime Longhorn, Hodges Mitchell.
No, man, Hodges, I've been asking all the guys we have on the show, man, about the Texas OU game. And it's amazing. The individual experiences are a little bit different, but everybody still kind of has the same mentality and mantra when it comes to that game. Talk about, because we've struggled in that game, so we're just trying to figure out how this team can overcome that hump, because you got to win that game if you want to be one of the best teams. That's the game. How did you get prepared for that game? And give me your experiences in that game and what it meant to you as a player.
Okay, let me go ahead and I guess I can say this on record because they don't like us anyway. Man, I got a deep-seated dislike for OU, to be real honest with you. I don't even wear the color red. I don't even have the color red in my house. I got a room, a man cave just for me that has all Longhorn stuff. If you don't even like the University of Texas, you can't even come in my house. You can't even talk to me. As far as getting prepared for that game, I never forget this. I think it was my sophomore year, man. We were driving into the Cotton Bowl, and I saw this lady. She maybe 70, 75 years old, and it was an old lady, and she was sitting there giving us the finger, and she was shaking the brush. I touched Amara Brooks. I said, "Hey, man, you don't see this? You don't see this old lady giving us a finger, man?" And that's all you saying. And that stuck in my mind. That really just stuck in my mind. But as far as preparations for that particular game, it sets you up for the rest of the season. Your season is really riding on that game, and it can propel you or it can put you in a hole that you have to really dig out of. My preparation mentally was I knew that most of the teams that win that game, they have a good running game. And a team that runs the ball well is going to win that game 95% of the time. I knew that they were going to be dependent on myself and Victor Ike and Kenny Hyder to fill those shoes of Ricky Williams. I think we did a good job.
And a reminder that all guests on the VIP hotline are brought to you by Stephen Van Wicklin Dental.
This is Lifetime Longhorn, Aaron Humphrey.
Let's talk about Texas OU. This year, again, was a bit of a game that Longhorn fans would not like to remember. And Rod's talked at lengths about his preparation and how much that game had meant to him and it had just been something that he wore just sort of throughout his career at Texas. How about you talk about the mentality and the amount of intensity needed to go and play well in that football game?
Yeah, that's probably one of the highest level games, I mean, at the college level you'll ever play. I mean, it's so much faster, it's harder hitting. It's just like any rivalry game. This year it was just it's disappointing the way they came out and played. And Homer, I love UT, I love Coach Brown, but it really was, you know. I mean, and they've shown here in the past couple of weeks that they can play when they want to. But that OU game is a game that, you know, good God, if you're a Texas Longhorn, you got to be foaming at the mouth when it comes to that game.
Yep.
And the pride and the tradition, you know, being a Longhorn and being in that game ought to mean something more than, you know, laying down and getting your tail whipped. And, you know, it was a little embarrassing to be a Longhorn for about a week. But, you know, it's just one of those games that, you know, it's got to mean something to you. You know, this could be one of the best times of your life, or it could be one of the worst times of your life. I guarantee that. That's for sure, especially being at that fairground. But, you know, they bounced back, and they're playing well. I've really liked the way their defense has played the last couple weeks. I was really, really happy. Let me tell you how happy I was when they went down to Lubbock and beat down on the Red Raiders. Let me tell you that. Made up for it a little bit.
Hook 'em! Lifetime Longhorn, Kalen Thornton. Kalen, before we let you go, it's a question that we pose to really every former player, but just want to ask you about the Texas OU rivalry, the emotions involved, what it means to you, and especially with you being a guy that grew up in the DFW Metroplex, you know, what did it mean to you then, and then as a Texas player, and then now after your playing days since you've left UT?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was part of that class that didn't necessarily pull out a victory, so I'm still mad about it. I'll stay mad about it. Any sooner as they want to line up and play, I'm glad. Like, I don't play much flag football anymore, but I would definitely line up and take them on. But all jokes aside, I think it's one of those things that the rivalry, and especially that rivalry, one that's that historic, is probably one of the best things about college football, quite honestly, because you really start to see the passion come through from the players, the fans, from administrators, from, you know, little kids, three-year-old kids, giving you all sorts of symbols that they probably shouldn't even know about at that age. But it's something that I think is what's so special about college football, that exists at the professional level, but it's not quite as rich, I think. And so that one in particular was huge for me, being in the back, being in my own backyard. It was the first time I ever played in in Dallas at that major stage, even coming from St. Mark's, and it was one that all my friends and all my family had a chance to attend to. So it meant a lot to me, and I am honest when I say I'm disappointed that I didn't get a chance to win it, but I think it's something that can basically make or break your experience in college, and hope that the guys today continue to take it seriously, and that while it's not the entire season, it's something that means a lot to be able to pull that out and have bragging rights. So many of those guys that go to OU are from Texas and vice versa. So.
Here come. This is Mark Henry, the world's strongest man.
And you know, we're excited about the football season getting going too, Mark. And I mean, I know you're a big fan of Longhorns because we always talking about the Longhorns. I really have not gotten your prediction for the Longhorns this year. How do you think the Longhorns are going to do? What's the record you got for the Longhorn football team?
You know, the way I look at it, I have them either winning 9 to 10 games and having a real successful season. But the number one thing is seeing them beat Oklahoma.
Yeah,
they going in the hostile territory a couple of times this season, and those are the ones that I'm worried about.
Well, Mark, let me ask you about coming back from adversity, and the Longhorns are going to have to do something that they haven't done in years, is actually go up there and hit somebody in the mouth and show them on the field. You sort of come from that type of profession where it's on intimidation. You know, you got to go out there and mentally be ready before you go out there physically. Could you just talk about just being mentally prepared through all your weightlifting, everything now into the WWE, and just what it takes to get to that level?
Well, I mean, the Longhorns in history, in years past, people have looked at them as being kind of like weak or not being very mentally tough. And I think that's going to be the difference in this season, is they're allowing them to intimidate a little bit more, to not feel like they got to be the good guy. And I'm not saying you got to be the bad guy, but you got to find a happy medium. Focus is very important. You have to be aware of the situation. You got to be aware of the severity of what the potential problems that can ensue. You can also psych yourself out if you feel like the situation is bigger than you are. So you got to kind of look at yourself in a way that you feel like, I'm the important part of this. I'm the reason for the season. They coming in my house, and they're unwanted guests. And that's just the way you have to approach it. And if they don't, then they're going to have problems.
And, you know, Mark, you brought up the perception of Texas. There are some who think the Texas program is not mentally tough, as you put it. We were on the sidelines together watching that Texas-Oklahoma game last year. What did you see that was missing in that game that the Longhorns need to rectify this year to be successful?
One of the main things is communication, and we talked about it too. You know, those guys go out there and it's like church. You know, it's silent. Like you got to communicate on the defense. You know, you see a guy going motion, you need to
shout out, man. Like, hey, they out of that formation, they usually run a trap, or they usually try to crack back. You know, watch the crack back. You know, like, you know, the awareness and communication is what's got to change.
But what I was going to ask you on this is, as a player, and I kind of was thinking about some of this week leading into this, is this a game where in a lot of ways scheme and game plan and all that stuff just kind of goes out the window?
I agree. I really think it's one of those games where the players on the field win the game.
Because didn't you tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but that 2001 game, you guys were going to come out and do all kinds of different stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then Bull Reese just said, screw it.
Scrap the whole day. We had all these really fancy combo coverages, and we were going to move the safeties around in different shells and do all this really cool stuff we've been working on. I was like, yeah, man, we got a great game plan coming in. First down, I only know it was the second series. After the second series, Bull Reese calls downstairs, all right, you know what? Scrap the damn game plan. We're going man-to-man across the board, zero coverage and one coverage. So man-to-man and cover one the whole damn game. We had all this really cool cover two combo, cover three. So, man, we didn't do any of that stuff. We didn't do a damn thing. We played man-to-man because we figured, hey, we can man them up across the board. And we want to put our safeties in position where they can come down and play the run. So, hey, he basically said, corners, y'all on y'all damn own. Earn your money. You're supposed to be some of the best in the country. Earn your damn money.
Hook 'em! I think people always say, boy, how intimidating the tunnel is. I think it's fun. College football is about fans and about the fan experience. And, you know, you got some guy cussing you and he's slobbering all over himself. And he's probably about a half drunk and he's calling your wife names and your grandmother names, and he just having fun, you know. So I just laugh at him. I mean, I only take things that people say to me seriously when I know them. If I don't know them, I just say, "Ooh, boy, you're gonna have a headache in the morning." In fact, some of them I'll say he's not gonna see the game, so he won't be a factor. And that is it used to be interestingly fun, but when I was at OU, I used to sit and they'd always have an account of how many Texas fans came to the emergency room and how many Oklahoma fans, and that was a count of how the fans were fired up before the game. So I think with modern day police and internet, that slowed down a little bit too. I don't think we have as many fights at the West End. Hook 'em!
And our very own Rod B to give Texas a 14-3 lead against Oklahoma in the 2002 Red River rivalry. And Gary Danielson, Rod was in man-to-man, not zone coverage.
Smith is out to the right. Basher takes him one-on-one. First down, OU. Now Hibble. Uh-oh. Intercepted. Nothing but green real estate. Hibble will come in on Davis. Touchdown, Texas. He can't get there. 72 yards on the interception by Roderick Babers, his second pick of the year, as the running back did not turn around and never saw the pass coming. 14-3, Texas.
This pass was called by Oklahoma expecting a man-to-man coverage. It was not. Works was going to go out and up right here, and these two guys are going to try to pick. It doesn't work if the other team is playing zone defense, and when Hibble lays it up, there's the corner just standing there saying, thank you very much. Good call, Carl Reese. Put me in zone instead of man-to-man, and Hibble misreads it for a touchdown for the Longhorns. Nate Hibble thinks he's got a pick to the outside. One-on-one coverage. Lays it up. A critical mistake. His second of the game. Works has no chance for it. And that's a disaster waiting to happen. And you see it right there. Babers, who had the big interception last week against Oklahoma State, gets another one.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You've been listening to Longhorn Blitz with Horns247.com. Remember, for the latest Longhorn news 24/7, visit Horns247.com.
The
chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.